And one, and two, and one, two, three.
Welcome to the Coconuts Podcast. Today is January 15, 2021. The Coconuts Podcast is your home for top trending news and pop culture from all across Southeast Asia and Hong Kong. I'm Summer Lee.
And I'm Bim Shanmugam.
Hi, Bim.
Hola. What a week. We have survived another week of 2021.
Absolutely, but this is a week to be alive in because our boy Trump is getting impeached, and like that has been the flavor of the week, and we enjoy it. We enjoy it.
Duh. Yeah, he's like, he can't even do that like in a normal way. Like, he has to be impeached twice. I mean, like,
I know, right? He's like an overachiever. Like, with everything that he does, he puts like 200% into it.
I'm the best president. I've been impeached twice.
I mean, the best at having tiny hands. Yep.
Yeah, it's just a huge mess, and let's hope it doesn't filter down. I feel like it might filter down in some level, but like, well, actually, one of the stories that's coming up later on, it did filter down. that should be something to chat about. But yeah, let's hope things get back to some normalcy in the U.S. Because, you know, like it or not, these still are you know, the way that. I guess measures the rest of the world or yeah, so interesting. But what have you been up to? Any fun new New Year hobbies or resolutions?
I guess it's finding new ways to stay preoccupied at home.
Yes, which is an interesting topic because like we're going to be speaking to a renowned writer, Martin Lindstrom, later on, and he's going to be giving us some tips on how to stay, I guess, how to stay sane, honestly, how to stay sane at home as we enter this new year and hopefully new world.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited to know, like, you know, have we been spending all our time inside wrong? Have I been working from home wrong? Stay tuned.
Advertise with our in-house agency, Grove. Fast, funny, digital. Join forces with us to slay buzzwords, rise above the noise, and sow the seeds of something great. Get in touch via coconuts.co/grove.
And now for our top stories. So it is officially winter in Bangkok. Well, it's not officially winter, but Bangkok has been enjoying some winter-like weather, very cool weather. Temperatures have been at a low of about 15 degrees Celsius, and the highs are only about like 27 degrees Celsius. So the weather has been very, very nice and wonderful in Thailand. But for some people, a little cold. They've been like sweatering up. But that also means that, you know, all the winter Thai fashion comes out as well.
I don't know. I think it's a huge tragedy in the sense that none of us can go there and experience it. So like, RIP to all Singaporeans. Sorry for your loss.
So sad, so sad. I was in Bangkok maybe probably like 3 years ago, and there was like sort of a cold front, and it was very cool. And I think we had like 18 degrees, you know, air conditioned weather outside in the nights, and it was really, really nice. Like, you know, especially like rooftop bars, just perfect weather for like having a drink outside with friends. Remember those days? Remember those days?
Give me a second, you wipe my tears. Okay. Over in Jakarta, Indonesia extends its border closure to all foreign visitors until Jan 28. And yeah, I guess just continuing the trend of stay where the hell you are. And yeah, the decision comes following the country's new COVID-19 restrictions called the Enforcement of Restrictions on Public Activities, also known as the PPKM, which is set to tighten restrictions throughout Java and Bali. That's on kind of now until at least January 25th. And yeah, the extension was confirmed by Coordinating Economic Minister Ayalanga Hatatu, who heads the COVID-19 Handling and Economic Recovery Committee. But yeah, I guess the moral of the story is stay where you are, and like this will get over faster than, you know, if you don't stay where you are. Yeah. I get that's a hard concept for some people.
I mean, as of this week, Indonesia has about a reported over 800,000 cases, right? And I think like 120-ish thousand cases are still active. Unfortunately, like the death rate there It's about 24,000 people. So it is quite serious there. And I think like these are just measures to make sure that, people that no new carriers come in, and also, you know, people who are hopefully visiting one day are not exposed to anything like dangerous. So yeah, it's unfortunately the same old, same old.
Mm-hmm.
We'll move from Jakarta just a little bit down the water to Bali. Talk about, I thought we learned last year that, you know, like expats should just like not be naughty in Bali, but they just keep on there, like the gift that keeps on giving, like herpes.
Oh God. At least they are consistent.
Yeah. So a whole bunch of foreigners got in an argument with authorities because they did not want to leave a restaurant. Basically, there is a curfew where you have to be done with your in-restaurant dining by 9 p.m. You can still like take away after that. But unfortunately, like in a viral video, the whole bunch of unmasked foreigners that were yelling and arguing with cops. And it's just like, it's just shenanigans, just more shenanigans. Like, I don't understand why, you know, the laws can't be followed. Just like Jakarta, the PPKM was enforced in Bali across all the major malls, restaurants, shopping centers, public areas, where all these places had to close by like 9 p.m. But unfortunately, like, you know, once again, people are trying to walk the tightrope and try to bend the law a little bit and get their way. I think this is a problem, right? Like, people just try to like push a little bit. You just can't give anyone like any leeway, you know. If not, like, it's just gonna crumble in on itself.
Mm-hmm. That's the pandemic within the pandemic. It's stupidity.
That's an unfortunately, like, one day maybe COVID-19 will be gone, but stupidity, there's no cure for that.
Oof, rest in peace. But yeah, over to Hong Kong. Holy shit. Hong Kong Trump fans changed Twitter icons to support outgoing US president.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
But yeah, so they're doing this to protest the company for suspending his account. And what a weird way to show support. But okay, I kind of get it, but I kind of don't. But yeah. So comparing Twitter's decision to ban Trump with the Chinese authorities' use of censorship to silent opposition voices, Hong Kongers switched their profile pictures to portraits of Trump over the weekend, accusing social media platforms of violating rights to free speech. Now, as we all know, Twitter suspended Trump's account, explaining that the outgoing president risks inciting further violence after encouraging his supporters to march to the U.S. Capitol. Just no brain cells, just vibes in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
And yeah, of course, we all know they smashed their way through glass windows and threatened to shoot reporters and destroy their equipment. And the storming resulted in at least 5 deaths, which is real sad.
And, yeah.
You know, Twitter did put out a statement saying that Trump's tweets breached Twitter's policies against the glorification of violence. And I'm like, y'all are doing this now? Couldn't you have done this 4 years ago? But what do I know?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like, yeah, it's not just Twitter. Like, almost every other social media platform has been like, bye, Felicia.
And I'm like, remember when this guy wanted to ban TikTok? Now TikTok has banned him. Where the hell is he going to get his entertainment from? Dude can't watch TikToks.
It is a very funny thing because, like, I mean, I guess it's because Trump is very anti-China. And you know, he probably does have, like, you know, some fans in Hong Kong who are also, like, anti-China. So maybe that's why, I guess, quote-unquote, his popularity is there in Hong Kong.
Birds of the same feather, brain cells of the same number. I don't know. But you know, if you needed a new profile picture, Beyonce is right there. I'm just saying. There's no need to put like a sack of shit as a new profile picture. I'm talking, of course, about this guy.
Yeah, why like an orange old person when you can have Queen Bey?
Mm-hmm.
Well, obviously, like, lockdown is the theme for today. Because in Malaysia, unfortunately, MCO 2.0 has been declared in several major areas like Kuala Lumpur and Penang. MCO, obviously standing for the Movement Control Order, Prime Minister Muhyiddin Yassin announced another round of lockdowns across the nation, which will be in effect till January 26, because there have been spikes of COVID-19. A whole bunch of states have been put under the Movement Control Order, the MCO, but there are also other areas that are under the Conditional Movement Control Order, the CMCO, and some other areas in the Recovery Movement Control Order, RMCO. So essentially, like, it's just you can't travel without, there's a lot of restrictions between interstate travel, inter-district travel. There'll be things like permits that you need, your IDs. You can only go out for things like groceries and things that you really need. And even then, I think there's a limit of like only two people that can go out and get groceries. And you have to be within a 10-kilometer radius of your home. Malaysia has recorded more than 138,000 COVID-19 infections and unfortunately 542 deaths since the outbreak last February. So it's kind of not going away, and they're just being stricter with the lockdowns, and hopefully this will mean that, you know, they get everything under control over the next few weeks.
Yeah, man, it just seems like a common theme is, holy shit, don't move.
Yeah, I'm seeing now, like, not just in Malaysia, but, like, I think a lot of places, like, there was sort of an easing of a lockdown or easing measures, and then, unfortunately, people aren't careful, and, you know, the virus is back, and I don't want to say second wave, but, you know, there's another wave, and I just hope that, like, you know, in places like Singapore, and other, you know, countries around the region, like, you know, we just stay vigilant, you know, even if you're going into sort of a more lenient phase or time, just be more, I would say, like, even be more wary at that point, you know?
True that. But yeah, over in Manila, yuck! 600 sacks of trash were collected from Balangasar Creek in Quezon City. People just seem to have this nasty habit of throwing the trash into the wrong places. Just look at Balangasar Creek in Quezon City, where around 600 sacks of trash, not talking about Trump, not this time anyway, were collected by the local government Riverways Clearing Operations Group. Yeah, apparently they have been cleaning the creek every day for the past 2 weeks, but it remains clogged with rubbish, such as styrofoam, plastic, and food waste. It's such a metaphor for this entire year and the previous one. Holy shit. But yeah, it's estimated that it would take a month before the creek, which runs near Balintawak Market, becomes completely clean.
Oh dear.
Yeah, and of course, residents are reminded to not throw the garbage into the water. And, you know, of course, the Philippines is the world's third largest polluter after China and Indonesia because of Pinoy consumers' reliance on buying tinggi. Products wrapped in small plastic packages that are cheaper than those sold in bulk. And yeah, in 2019, an environmental group learned that each Filipino uses 591 pieces of sachets and 337 plastic bags per year, while 3 million diapers are thrown daily. So damn, they have these numbers down to a T. Please stop polluting. We have everything on record.
Oh man, that's crazy. That's so gross. Like, yeah. I guess, like, you know, in some rural parts, although I don't think this is that rural, you know, yeah, like throwing into a lake or river. I mean, it's like 101, you know, of marine conservation.
Mm-hmm.
Our next story is in Singapore, where there has been dog puppy drama. So a furious Pomeranian owner goes to war over a grooming company due to a botak makeover. Botak obviously meaning bald. So yeah, the owners of a Pomeranian named Didi were none too pleased because their puppy was weirdly like shaved. The grooming company, a mobile grooming service called The Precious Pets, were accused of shaving Didi's fluff instead of using shears as instructed. So the puppy looks quite cute. It just has like a fluffy head, but its whole body unfortunately has been like kind of shaved to almost like a buzz cut. So it looks like a little weird, like lion baby. But yeah, poor little puppy. The owners, Bossa Nova Queen, as she posted online, accused them of, you know, not following instructions. And she's essentially like shocked by their behavior. And, you know, even now she says that she's trembling when she sees her palm. And yeah, the puppy's like sad and shocked, just like her. And they want, she wants them to issue a public apology. Precious Pets has come out and they said, "Our groomer have repeatedly explained to the husband of, we're assuming Bossa Nova Queen, or maybe Bossa Nova Queen is the husband. We don't know. He can be whatever he wants. Explain to the husband that this would result in a Botox shave." Because basically they showed a picture, right? They showed a picture of a dog that they kind of wanted a, their dog to look like, a Shiba Inu, which I think is kind of like a, I don't know how to describe it, but like it looks kind of like a wolfy, like a wolfy, like a little wolf yes. baby.
Like yeah. a little Pokemon too.
Yes. Yeah. So they said, "Our groomer had repeatedly told the husband that this would result in a Botox shave. And our groomer had shaved a patch of the pet Pomeranian's fur. The customer and husband saw the length of the shave and told them to carry on." So unfortunately, like the cost of the shave, which was 100 Singapore dollars, has gone unpaid. But it is what it is. And they explain their side of the story. So two sides to every story. But poor puppy, man. Poor puppy.
Well, he looks kind of fun.
He's a real victim here.
Yeah, but it's kind of funny too, because like it just looks, because of the fur that's left on his head, it just looks like he's a huge ass head. It's like comically large. As yeah. compared to the rest of the shaved body. It's yeah, a look, like, though. It's a look.
He looks like a Funko Pop. Like a
oh cute my god, little, yes!
Like a cute little Funko Pop.
Yeah, but
anyway, well, the good thing is, puppy's fine. Hair grows back for some people. And it'll be fine. Puppy lives yeah. on.
And over in Yangon, some kind of sad news. COVID-19 found in 99 Rohingya arrested for traveling to Yangon, according to the police. And of the 99, sadly, mostly were women and children as young as 5 were arrested in Yangon while on their way to Malaysia.
Oh dear.
According to police, 5 of the group arrested at a private residence later tested positive for COVID-19, and police said they followed a man spotted by the police station to the home. So 2 men and 2 women suspected of helping the group in its attempt to reach Malaysia were also arrested. And Human Rights Watch said that they were arrested for nothing more than traveling to their own country and they should be freed. And after recovering from the virus, allowed to travel freely.
Yeah. I mean, this is a whole controversial thing, right? Because the Rohingya are basically like denied citizenship, sort of denied, well, effectively denied citizenship yeah. under the 1982 citizenship law. Government considers them to be legal aliens. They don't get like legal documentation when they travel around. So yeah, the right of freedom of movement, unfortunately, like, you know, is heavily monitored, especially with the Rohingya people. Yeah. I think in Myanmar in general, there has been a second wave that I think like popped out probably around like August. And in fact, like, and this is still not, well, I guess like the reporting is pretty accurate, but a lot of the Myanmar people have actually come down to Thailand and allegedly causing this other second wave, this new outbreak in Thailand. So it is unfortunately like still prevalent there. And as we can see from most of our stories this week, there are, you know, COVID-19 is still very much part of our lives. And we just need to be wary at all times and vigilant and follow the protocols. Don't be heroes.
And our guest for this week, he's a real interesting dude. He is a New York Times best-selling author of the book, The Ministry of Common Sense, How to Eliminate Bureaucratic Red Tape, Bad Excuses, and Corporate BS. And what a catchy title. And he's also a neuroscience brand consumer expert. And today he's going to share some tips on how to survive life in lockdown.
Woohoo! Ah! Hi, Martin. How are you?
I am fantastic.
You're in Switzerland right now. We're very, very jealous, obviously, here in Asia. But having said that, even though it's snowing in Switzerland, it has been kind of cool across Southeast Asia.
It has. Do you know what? It's so funny because everyone in Europe, they want to go to Asia right now. They've been locked in for about a year and we're just beginning another year right now. So don't be envy. Look at yourself and look at what you have. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. And you're so here in Singapore, we have sort of a semi lockdown. We're slowly easing into hopefully some semblance of normalcy. But in Switzerland, you're in lockdown right now.
We are completely in lockdown. The military is not on the street yet, but it's just about to happen right now. So it's crazy. And do you know what's so funny? Do you know what? In the old days, when we were starting up conversations, you know, on the phone, you haven't met people before, you would talk about the weather. Now we talk about COVID-19. This has been a universal topic, which is so funny. And do you know what? The second thing, which is so funny because of all this stuff, the second thing is we are changing the way we say hello to each other. Did you know that? Instead of saying hello, the first thing we say to each other is, you are mute.
What?
It's crazy. So the COVID-19 for sure has changed the world, both in what we talk about and how we behave.
Yeah, it's the sort of your digital greetings, right? Your digital interactions now, like virtual, I guess.
Yeah. Oh my, I just saw this tweet on Twitter. It said like, here's a new way to say hi on email. I hope you're staying positive and testing negative. And I'm just like, I just have to get that on a pillow right now.
I love it. I'm going to steal it.
Yep.
Yeah, it's such a weird thing that, you know, that this has just like turned the world upside down. Because I think during our lifetime, like we've had like sort of semi-pandemics, I guess, virus scares. But this is just a whole new world.
Listen, it is. And if you go into some neuroscience around that, it's pretty fascinating because back in the days when we had swine flu, some 2 billion people were affected by it and around 60,000 people died the first year. Obviously, had an impact. But what has happened this time is different. And I would actually claim there's a couple of reasons why. One of them is what we call, from a neuroscientific point of view, a somatic marker. A somatic marker is something so dramatic happening in your brain that you won't really oversee it, like 9/11. People remember where they were, what happened, who they're together with, at least those people alive during that period.
Yeah.
Now, this has become a somatic marker. It's such a slap in your face that you'll never forget it. And what we know today is it will mean that we will profoundly change our behavior in the future. It's almost like we are jumping on another track. We will say hello to people differently, we'll greet people differently, we'll work differently, and we'll also change the way we think about the future differently. And one of the studies we've done in Asia just recently shows that, in fact, we have fast-forwarded around 25 years into the future because of COVID-19. Mm. And let me explain why. When we are locked inside, we kind of lose our sense of purpose. Why am I here? What's my future going to be all about? Is this going to be the rest of my life? So what we sadly are seeing is a lot of people are losing hope. So what they're also doing is they're thinking, do you know what? When I'm out of this stuff here, I'm going to behave differently. I want to have my bucket list. I want to see these things. I want to do all that stuff. And normally, if you take a 25-year-old person, you would first start thinking like that when you're 65, right? Now you think about it as a 25-year-old. So you actually have fast-forwarded into the future in your behavior and become almost like a 60-year-old in your behavior, which is kind of scary and crazy. But we see that as a trend across entire Asia, that we're actually changing our mindset because of a somatic marker, this emotional bookmark in our brain.
Mm. Yeah, I think like when you can't do the things that you want to do, and more importantly, like if those things are taken away from you, I think like you just think about the things that you want to do like as soon as possible, and I think like everyone's sort of like in that mindset right now, like you mentioned, like, you know, we just want to as soon as, and that's going to be like, you know, that's a very question marky phrase, as soon as, you know, like things get better, I feel like people will be like often about. And part of it obviously is the fact that we're all like in lockdown and we're working from home, and the culture that we have at home to try to not only keep our like mental health and work culture and you know work and I guess like your work and play, how would you like sort of classify that? Because that's what you kind of write about, right? Like you've written about like how we can sort of adapt that.
Well, absolutely. He's the thing. I fundamentally believe there is nothing called going back to work. I call it going forward to work. And what I'm trying to say here is we need to put a line in the sand and realize that the lifestyle you are right now building is going to define how you're behaving in the future. In the past, we would have some routines, and the routines will sort of define our everyday life, what we do, if we go to work, how we go to work, how we go to school, whatever we do. But what is happening right now is we're kind of applying that on top of how we actually live behind a screen right now. So let me give you an example. Today, most people are spending 8 or 10 hours behind a screen every day. Now, first of all, we never go to the bathroom. I don't know why we never go to the bathroom. In meetings, there is no bathroom breaks. So what happens is that people are sneaking out to the bathroom without telling anyone, coming back, pretending like they haven't been away, and of course, asking the question, which were asked already 7 minutes ago, one more time so we can go in a round circle, right? And even worse, after exactly 60 minutes, we decide that now it's time to wrap up, even though, in fact, after 25 minutes, we already had solved all the problems. We just went in loop another 5 times because you're looking like you're skulking. I'm kind of cheating if I'm jumping out of this stuff. And then we're doing all this stuff during the entire day. And it's first at 9 p.m. where we're completely exhausted, sick and tired of sitting on a screen, that we now had to do our work. And most of the work, by the way, is done while we're sitting on our screen doing our work. But that's for the next meeting. So we're never really present. So I don't need to tell you that stuff does not hold anymore, because we never feel we're delivering anything. We constantly feel behind. We constantly feel exhausted. So my advice to you is to do a little trick with your life. It is to say, why don't you reconfigurate your life? It's a little bit like when you take a computer and you do a reconfiguration on it, where you basically take all the memory and shuffle it around so it's more powerful. And the way I do that is to have four buckets defining what you're doing. One is called eliminate, park, improve, and retain. And here's what you do. You should map down your entire day just for fun. Just write down, what is it I'm doing in the morning? What am I doing now? And then you should try to place things on that little chart. What is just plain stupid? What should I park? What should I really improve? And what do I love? And reshuffle your life around it. And what you will notice is when you start to map down a week of work, you'll notice that around 40% of what you do every day is falling under eliminate and park. And in fact, you don't question it. And you don't question it because you're in the middle of it. You just don't think about it. But when you take this outside in perspective, you now will start to clean up all that, all those stupidities, all those stupid rules you had and guidelines and routines you had, and instead rebuild your life being prepared for the going forward to work.
So how would you think, or rather, like, what would your advice be? What would your advice be in sort of managing your time or even just keeping morale high?
Well, it's very simple. And I'm going to tell you something which is shocking now. 4 years ago, I decided to skip my phone. So I don't have a phone.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And I did it after I had a conversation with another author. His name was Malcolm Gladwell. He's written a book called The Tipping Point. And we had a conversation about creativity. And he said, listen, he was starting to lose his creativity. And actually, so was I. So I realized the phone is one of the key sources to making that happen. Here's the fact. There's 3 consequences of the phone. One is you don't see things anymore, right? If you're standing in a bar waiting for someone and the person is late, the first thing you do is to grab your phone and do anything with a phone so you don't look like a complete loser, right?
Yeah.
And you don't meet people anymore. But the worst thing is, and listen to this, this is crazy, you never get bored anymore. And boredom is the foundation for creativity. It's that pause in your life which makes you think and reflect and see your life in a holistic point of view. And that's the problem we have now. We are driven by the technology. We never pause. We never say, hey, let me just put that into another perspective. So what happens is we need to change that. Now, I'm not saying skip your phone. I'm sure most of you guys are addicted to it. But there's two things you can do, which is pretty smart. The first thing is do create some phone-free hours in your life. Force yourself off the device, because I'm going to tell you a really scary story why that's important. A good friend of mine, he was having a dinner with his girlfriend, and she went to the bathroom and she was away for 22 minutes. And she came back, looked a bit strange in her face, continued the conversation. And after 10 minutes, she wanted to show him something on his device. So they flicked through her device and he noticed that there were 62 selfies of her from the bathroom. She just shot them when she was away. So of course he asked her why. And she said, because I know you're going to break up with me right now. And this is the last feeling I have of our relationship when we're together. Now, why do I tell you that? I tell you that because the latest trend we are seeing is that we store our memories in a different way in our brain than we did just 10 years ago. And let me explain that. For example, we did an fMRI study where we scanned people's brains to understand how we memory encode everything we learn every day. And here's the really scary part of it. When people are sitting at a dinner conversation and they're discussing about a topic and one person saying, what was the name of this guy? Do you remember that actor? A bright person would bring up the phone and come with the answer in around 5 seconds. But the problem is the brain is never storing the short-term memory at the moment. So the fMRI study showed that the way we store our memory now is to go straight to a point called the Google answer point in our brain. We literally do not store the memory. We just say to ourselves, the answer is Google. That means we're not storing memories. We're not storing emotions, because one of the things we learned is the reason why a lot of girls are taking selfies is because they want to freeze a moment where they had it. They had a nice time. So when they're depressed later on, they flick through all these selfies and look at one of the cool ones and get that energy again. So we store emotions in the cloud. We store memory in the cloud. And we actually also store our entire photo album in the cloud, which is the reason why a lot of people have subscription to Apple, which they're renewing when someone is dying in the family, because else they lose the entire family memory. So what I'm saying happening here is that we are increasingly becoming emotionally dependent on our smartphone. So you need to detox. And the reason why you feel as you do is because we know there's a direct correlation between the use of the phone and depression. Direct. This is a scientific proven fact. So you need to say, okay, every Sunday, I'm off the phone for 4 hours. Just 4 hours. It's fine. And by the way, tell it to the world and put up a reward and make sure they check you and you check them, because then it's easier to go through this painful exercise. And what happens then is suddenly one moment you'll wake up and feel, whoa, I actually have a life. And that is what you have to do now. You need to get out of that zombie state. The same with the screen use when you're on Zoom. Don't do it the whole day. Do breaks of an hour or two so you can let creativity come back again.
Wow. Do y'all hear that? Because that's the sound of my mind being blown. Just, you know, as a girl who does take selfies sometimes. And yeah, we know about stuff like the Google effect, in where we are basically all getting dumber because we can just Google anything at a touch of a few buttons. And yeah, I just actually did not think about how we are fossilizing a memory through selfies. So like, I feel like I have to go and lie down and think about all of this and why I take pictures.
And just check it out if it's true on your phone, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to go through like all 5 billion of my photos and think about why I took those.
Yeah. Well, listen, it is fascinating, because certainly for myself, I've tried that curve. I remember when I was walking down the street in Champs-Élysées in Paris, and it was the first day where I got rid of my phone. And I'll be frank with you, I felt like a complete loser. I felt like I was alone. I felt I was stupid. I wanted to share that memory with someone, and I was no one to share with it. And so it is. I think the withdrawal effect is very similar to other types of withdrawal effects. I certainly know from an fMRI study I did, and which were published in the New York Times, and actually, funny enough, were cited by Al Gore at Steve Jobs' funeral. They referred back to my work. And in that study, we learned that we actually today fall in love with the phone. Literally the same center in your brain as when you fall in love is the center activated when you pick up your phone. And that means that you're almost getting rid of someone you love. That's the level we're talking at. And that's the reason why you can't do what I'm doing. I was able to do it, frankly, because I had a stupid Nokia. And it was so useless anyway. So I kind of detoxed through that phone, right? But when you have been so addicted to all the stuff you have around you and all the easiness of booking your tickets and checking the weather and whatever, what happens is kind of crazy because I don't know if you'd like me, but sometimes you check the weather even though you can just walk outside. And even worse, if you have a really important day, tell me, have you tried this? You have a really important day and you want the weather to be perfect. So what do? You search a weather forecast and it says it's going to be raining. So what do? You search another weather forecast and you continue searching until you find the right weather forecast fitting that weather you'd like to have next Thursday. That's how we become. I mean, it's crazy. We actually behave as we can change the technology, or we can change the world through the technology. And that's where we know, okay, now we're going too far in our brains. So break it down. Share this advice with the world. Make sure you keep the world, or the world keeps you accountable, and give yourself a reward. And once you've done that, your next step is to add another hour or two to the game.
Step by step. Yeah. No, I think that's really great advice, because earlier this year as well, I realized that, especially when we were locked down in Singapore, I used to read a lot of books and then it went digital. And I realized that early in lockdown that I actually kind of wanted books. And instead of reading off of your phone or tablet, I just removed the app and bought physical books, which was one of the greatest things to go back to again, just having that sort of physical, tangible relationship again with something that, you know, is not a shiny white screen.
It's fascinating you saying that. And there's two reasons why it's happening. The first reason is that the biggest organ we have in our body is the skin. It's the tactile sensation. Mm. And here's the fact. We all strive to be in balance. It may be I feel overweight, so I want to have a diet product. It may be I feel alone, so I'm hooking up on Match.com. It may be I have a midlife crisis, so I'm buying a Harley Davidson. Whatever it is, we're all out of balance. And here's the fact. We have been and we continue to be out of balance with the sense of touch. We don't touch people anymore. We don't hug people anymore. We don't have a sense of belonging with others anymore. So that's the reason why the sales of physical books has gone up 19% during COVID-19 worldwide, explaining what you do. It's also the reason why pet sales have gone up 300% across the world. People are buying more dogs and more cats. And in fact, people are even buying more tactile products, more puzzles, for example, because they want to use their fingers, more coloring books. They're also buying, when they buy luxury stuff, they buy bags with lots of different levels of leather materials and fabric on it, so you can touch your way through the bag rather than just seeing it. And that out of balance, as I call it, with tactile, explains why we are behaving the way. But the reason why, and let me go even deeper, is actually explained in an amazing scientific experiment done 4 years ago with rats. There was two sets of rats. The first rat was touch and given food on a very regular basis by the scientist. The second pair of rats were never touched, still fed, but never touched for a month. Exactly after a month, half of the rats were dead in the second part of the experiment, the one where they were not touched. Mm. And once where they were touched every hour, still lived on. And what we know today is there's a direct correlation between touch and how long we live. And I certainly know that for some of my work in Japan, where I was asked by the government to help the senior sector to give people at a senior age a stronger lifestyle. And what I realized when these really old people, 95, 105 years old, were living there, all their relatives were really gone. And they asked themselves, how do we make them live in a nice way? And they realized tactile was missing from their life because no one was there to touch them. So, of course, in the best Japanese style, you know how they are, they invented a robot and dressed it up as a seal, a robot seal. And there we are, all the old people were petting away on the robot seal. Now, I'm not saying this is the answer to the world, right? But I am saying it's striking that touch subconsciously actually impacts us this much. And that's my message here, that 85% of everything you and I do every day, whether that is the obsession with the phone, whether that is to take those selfies, whether that is to touch your book and buy more physical books, is actually the subconscious part of our brain in activation, which is the reason why we are so struggling when we're at home and feeling kind of depressed, feeling we don't achieve anything anymore, feeling, my God, one day is passing by after another, because our subconscious part of the brain, the 85%, is in overdrive right now. And I'll explain a little bit why that's happening. One of the reasons why, this is fascinating stuff, one of the reasons why is because we perceive time different during this period. We actually perceive time as going in a different speed. So let me explain. When you go through transitions in your life, for example, if I go to the theater or if I travel to a holiday destination, you actually are rendering a lot of new data into your brain. And it means that you kind of feel exhausted because there's so much stuff coming in. That's the reason why if you travel from destination A to B, it feels like it's taking longer time than if you go from B to A, so back again, because you are rendering your data on the first trip and the second one, you're just picking into your data. What happens when we live at home is there's no change of environment. The rooms are the same. There's no transformation happening, no transition happening. So we actually perceive time going different. In fact, we perceive time is going faster. And that's the reason why a lot of people are saying, my God, that feels so long time ago, and this is different, and I don't feel I'm achieving anything, and I have all these things I want to do, and I just don't do it, because we have no transitions in life. So what you should do, this is a very important advice, separate work from private. Have different rooms where you allocate different lifestyles if you have the space in your apartment. So don't do work in your bedroom. Never, ever. You can't mix it. Don't do schoolwork in the bedroom. Don't do that. Make sure you have one room which is only for work. Dress up when you go to work. Okay? I'm not asking you to put on a tie, but I'm saying use a different piece of clothes when you walk into this room. Because what we know today from neuroscience is it helps you to reset your brain and go into work mood. And when you leave that room again, dress down. And that means suddenly you are reconfigurating your life and time will suddenly feel different and you will start to jump into that helicopter again and see the world from a perspective.
So it's really sort of like allocating specific rooms and times. Essentially, it's just like psychologically like resetting yourself. Like, you know, you're working. This is the room that you work in. Once I leave that room, I'm not going to touch my computer. I'm not going to think about work anymore.
And let me explain, you know, why this is so important. I'm sure you guys have tried, you're going to a very important wedding or you're going to the theater or you're going to somewhere where you're dressing up. I bet you most women will dress up, put on the makeup, the high heels, and you will feel different. You actually feel different when you do it. And the reason why you feel different is what I call enclosed cognition. And it comes back to an experiment done around 8 years ago in New York City, where people were giving three different white lab coats to wear. The first lab coat had a sign above it, not printed on the lab coat, but above it, and it said doctor. The second lab coat had a sign above it saying dentist, and the third lab coat had nothing above it. When people put on the lab coat saying doctor above it, it didn't say it on the lab coat, They were more intelligent in the test. They were answering questions faster, and the self-esteem level went up. When they took on the one saying dentist, it went up a little bit. And the one without any sign above it, there was no change. So enclosed cognition is your emotional transformation. It's how you feel confident when you put on your Rolex watch. It's how you feel more confident, perhaps, if you wear a tie or not, or you're having your phone on you and not. And that's really what you play on as you reconfigure your home. You allocate zones where you have a certain mindset. And by doing that, you're not blending everything. Because here's the issue. If you work from home, you have a pipeline of bureaucracy going straight into your bedroom. That's not very healthy, right? Because then there's no zone for you to relax. It's 24/7 of bullshit, right? So So you have to get around that by doing those zone separations.
Very interesting. Yeah, I mean, like I think that's the most difficult thing that I think a lot of people go through, like being in lockdown. Like I know, especially in places like Singapore, Hong Kong, space is always, you know, a luxury. So a lot of people just, you know, they work from their bedrooms. They work at weird hours. You know, they could be waking up and then they're on their computers and then you're answering emails, or you're like watching TV at night and then you're answering emails. So like the sort of work and play and rest and school and all the other stuff, like all just becomes like one day and you don't know like where it starts and where it ends. I think that's been the biggest struggle. I mean, for me personally, that's been one of the, I wouldn't say struggles. Like I think like it's just a habit I think we've become used to and kind of maybe sometimes enjoy, but you kind of need that like pause, like you said, you know, to reset.
You need a pause, absolutely, and well said, but you also need a structure in your life which you can lean up against and feel comfortable about. We are all creatures by habits. It means if I remove your common ground, I feel uncomfortable. And what's happening is that because the smartphone, because the working from home phenomenon, because all that stuff is sneaking in through the back door and through the cracks in our lives, we really never had a warning. It's not like from one day to another, we were told 7 weeks in advance, now your life is going to change. Here's what you have to do. No, it happened through some fun stuff on an app, and it happened through a fun message. And suddenly we were just sort of seduced into changing our lifestyle without us really knowing it. That's the reason why I pledge you to go back and separate your life into eliminate, park, improve, and retain. Because then you're able to park what really doesn't make sense in your life. I'll give an example. For example, when I mapped down my life, those two things I realized over 1 month, which really shocked me. I realized, first of all, I didn't feel I had any time. I felt I was so busy all the time. And when I looked at my little chart, I realized that I actually was wasting 2 hours and 45 minutes on YouTube videos every day. And if you asked me to this very day what I was watching, I have no idea, absolutely no idea. So obviously, if I feel I'm busy, that's kind of strange. But here's the issue. That is what I call a candy moment. A candy moment is when you do a really important document or something which is really, you know, brain draining for you. And then suddenly in the middle of the whole thing, you stop and you go on Facebook and you check something, or you go on whatever and check out something. That is what I call a candy moment. It's your brain craving for other type of stimuli. If you do not control it in a proper way, suddenly you hang out there for 45 minutes. What you have to do is you need to give your brain those breaks, but you need to do it in a more structured way, or else the other track you're jumping on becomes really, really addictive, right? So that's the first thing I learned, to basically cut down my YouTube and have other brain moments, so other candy moments in my life. The second thing I realized through all this stuff was that my creativity level really went down. And that's the reason why I basically said, hey, I need to have times of the day where I'm creative, where I'm thinking about things. So today I'm only on Zoom and Microsoft Teams call for 4 or 5 hours. And then I allocate myself 4 hours or 5 hours to think and reflect and do my work in a proper way. And I literally shut down my computer, and in your case, your phone, so that I don't have disturbance. You cannot have your messages coming up while you're doing this thinking work, while you're reflecting on things, because you will be constantly seduced to go back to it. You really have to stop it. And that is really two simple things, which for me has helped me to be more happy, more productive, and actually feel I have a sense of purpose in my life. And I do think that's the issue right now. I think a lot of people don't feel we have a purpose in life. Why am I here? And it's not because you lost it. It's because you're distracted by it, because of these different devices telling us a distracting story all the time, so we never really collect our thoughts.
Mm.
Oh, wow. I think I'm about to throw my phone away. But yeah, Martin, I guess if there's one thing we could take away, I guess we have to introduce boredom, like you said, to drive creativity. And yeah, what would be advice you could give to somebody to introduce boredom besides throwing away their phones? What is a more kind of practical thing that all of us young children and above could do?
Well, I'm writing a lot about that in the Ministry of Common Sense, because what I'm saying here is you cannot do things was dramatic in your life, because you will always bounce back to your default behavior. So break it down to small, bite-sized behavioral changes you're doing. So here's what I would do. Whenever I'm together with one of my friends, I would say, place all your phones in a cup or in a plate, on a plate in the middle of the table. Switch them off and have them just lying there on top of each other. And do a game that the one picking up the phone first is the one which is losing. Do a game where other people are keeping an eye on you and you're keeping an eye on them. The fact is, when you're together with friends, we're not together anymore. We're not present. We are in a cloud. So really, we think we are physically together. Yes, that's true. But emotionally, we're not. So I would start with your friends first and really say, whenever we meet up Thursday or whatever we do together, just park that phone for the next 2 hours and see if we can handle it. Now, if you can handle it, good news. Then you actually had a fun time. If you can't, bad news, you have a problem, because then you're simply too addicted. And then you have to break it down to an hour instead. And if you can't do an hour, just take 10 minutes. But break it down. That is the trick. Break everything down I said today. Break down the way you sit in front of the screen. Break down your way of sitting in a room for certain purposes. Break down the way you use your smartphone devices. All that stuff, if you can't do it, as Ford once said, the inventor of the car, he said, no problem is difficult as long as you break down the problem to small bite-sized steps. And that's really what I'm asking you to do. So whatever you've heard on the call today, whether you take all these selfies or you store all these memories in the cloud, or for example, you are having this conversation about who was that actor in that movie, do a game and give each other 10 minutes to think about it while we're talking about something else. And do you know what we realize? After 10 minutes, a bright person is saying, I know who it was. But what happened during that period was that, in fact, the person was thinking and retraining that muscle memory, which we are about to lose. And that means that suddenly we're getting our short-term memory back. And he didn't use the phone. And the next time you continue doing it, and then you're slowly getting back on track.
Cool. Thank you, Martin, for that advice. I think like it's really valuable, especially during this time. Well, the whole last year, and hopefully not too long into this year. But I think it's also just eternal good advice to sort of like detox from your phone, detox from your digital life, but also having boundaries to work, to play, to rest, and to yourself. Thank you so much for being on and discussing all of this. And I think like it's really, really sort of intriguing and helpful.
Thank you so much. It's been great fun. And listen, to everyone out there, there is hope in the end of the tunnel. You just need to reconfigure your life. And guess what? You never had a better time in history than to do it right now.
Ooh, wise words.
Thank you, Martin.
Fantastic to hear your voices. I hope we can meet up one day in person, right? And see your lovely faces. If you have any other stuff you want to talk about in the future, just drop me a note. As you know, a lot of my work is about consumer behavior and how we behave differently. So you can always drop me a note and I'll jump on your fantastic show.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Martin. Talk to you soon.
You're welcome.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
Whoa, Summer. So I think I'm pretty sure that I did everything wrong from everything that he talked about. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because unfortunately, like, I do have, like, everything in my room. Like, I have my bed. I have, like, you know, my computer games. I have, like, obviously my work console. It's all in one place. I think, I mean, it's tough in Asia, though. It's tough. But I do understand what he means. So maybe it's a case of, like, just setting strict times on when your computer is on or when your work computer is on, and then when you're going to be like taking messages or calls. I think that might be like a very effective way of just setting boundaries. I mean, but the biggest takeaway is just like have structure, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess it's nice to hear that we don't actually have to throw our phones in the ocean for us to remain like some sense of, retain some sense of normalcy, I would say. So yeah, don't throw your phone in the ocean. Just keep it aside for a few hours.
Yeah, don't pollute the ocean. Don't pollute the ocean.
Oh, true that. That's what we've learned today.
I was wondering whether you could have, if you could survive, like with just like a, you know, like a old school, like Nokia, like phone that had only the app phone on it and no other apps, you know, like. But I don't know. Like, I feel it'll still be tricky because you need, even if you didn't use any of the doodling time apps, like your Instagrams and your even emails or WhatsApps or whatever that was, you still kind of need like maybe Grab or, you know, your like whatever travel app. And then yeah, you need like your phone to call people. But then again, people might call you and bother you. So yeah, it's a whole thing. It's a whole thing. Mm-hmm. So maybe keep your phone. Just, yeah, like Martin said, like just keep specific times where you're not going to be using the phone. But 4 hours, you know, I could do like Sunday, like not use the phone on Sunday or not even look at the phone on Sunday.
Yeah, I guess it's like all about baby steps and not just going cold turkey. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the most important thing the takeaway was like, creating boredom in your life, which I think like I do struggle with that, because if you're not on your phone, you're like on your computer or you're like you're playing a game or like you're watching TV, or I think just having that peace me time, I think we need to put that into effect a little bit more.
Yep.
Well, that's all for this week. Next week we're gonna have a great guest who's gonna dish out more advice and some fun interesting things. Stay tuned for that one.
Woo!
Bye. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to support Coconuts and our weird and wondrous stories, you can become a Coco Plus member at coconuts.co/membership, make a patron payment at coconuts.co/patron, or buy our fresh merch at the Coconut Shop at shop.coconuts.co. Subscribe to the podcast and leave reviews. Tell us how you feel and what you like and don't like. We're excited to hear from you.
The Coconuts podcast delivers impactful, weird, and wondrous reporting by our journalists on the ground in 8 cities. Singapore, Bangkok, Hong Kong, Manila, Jakarta, Kuala Lumpur, Yangon, and Bali. Listen to headline news and insightful interviews on matters large and small, designed for people located in or curious about Southeast Asia and Hong Kong. The Coconuts podcast is a Coconuts Media production. Our hosts are Summer Lee and Vim Shamugam. Our executive producer is Byron Perry. Our production manager is Clarissa Cortez, and our editor is Raina Lim.